I'm going to invite you to turn in your pew Bible this morning to Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to read segments out of this passage, not the entire passage of Leviticus 16. But I'm going to talk today about the Day of Atonement. If you were to look on your calendar, how many of you have seen the word Yom Kippur on your calendar? Anybody? Yeah. You always wonder, what does that word mean? Anybody got a guess what that means? The Day of Atonement. Now you know what it means. And so the Jewish people still celebrate that today. It's called Yom Kippur. And so it's the Day of Atonement. And believe it or not, it's kind of a coincidence that this comes up for them in just a few weeks. It's, the second Wednesday in October. And so it's an annual festival that they still celebrate. Now they don't sacrifice and do the things that we're going to talk about this morning that the Israelites did some couple thousand years ago. But that's the correlation I want you to be aware of. Yom Kippur, I think, is October 9. And so the Day of Atonement is what that stands for. And so you're going to learn about that this morning. So let's begin our reading. Leviticus 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. Now, does anybody have anybody read the story about the two sons of Aaron? They were priests. They did not prepare themselves to enter the Holy of Holies. They thought they could just willy-nilly walk into the tent or the tabernacle, go behind the curtain, and God said, nope, and he struck them dead right there because they were dirty. They were not clean, and they came into the presence of God. So Aaron's two sons were killed, and you can read this if you go back in the book of Leviticus. And so some things have happened, and now we pick up the story. Now remember, Moses is a brother to Aaron as well. And so God talks to Moses. Moses comes and talks to Aaron, the high priest, the father. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area. With the young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. And then jumping to verse 20. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. And then verse 29 through 31. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you, to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you must deny yourself. It is a lasting ordinance. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you speak to us through your word this morning, and may your spirit fill those that have gathered here today. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your word. And Lord, may these words be your words and never mine. And I pray for that same spirit to fill me as I bring this message to your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you enjoy spring cleaning? Anybody? Nobody. That does not surprise me. How many of you enjoy cleaning things in general? Yeah. Oh, we have one person back here, a couple people. I'm thankful that we have a janitor that likes to clean because our church is clean, right? And so we're thankful for that. But let me just relate a few things to you this morning. Israel's annual Day of Atonement was something like a spiritual spring cleaning. It happened once a year where they made atonement for their sacrifices, for their sins that they committed. So in one sense, Israel did not look forward to the coming of this day, much like you and I do not look forward to spring cleaning. They kind of dreaded it. They knew it was coming. Stuff had to be done. Unlike the other Jewish holidays, the Day of Atonement was no festive event. And so let me explain this to you just a little bit. It was a day of national mourning. Sometimes they would put on sackcloth. Has anybody ever worn sackcloth in here? It'd be a coarse wool. It makes you feel uncomfortable. It's itchy. All with the purpose of to remind themselves of who God is in their lives and for the sins that they've committed. And so they'd have this national day of mourning where they gather as the family, the Israelites would, and then repent their sins. They'd afflict themselves. They'd humble themselves. And possibly, as I said, wear sackcloth to get the point across. They fasted. They weren't allowed to eat on this day. It was a Sabbath. They weren't allowed to work on this day as well. It's to be set aside no matter what day of the week that it fell on. This year, it falls on Wednesday. And so that is their Sabbath today. So keep that in mind as you move forward. But let me just remind you a few things that are going on. When the Israelites camped in the wilderness at Sinai, God lived among them with the visible focus of his presence being the tabernacle. Now, we've learned a lot about this tabernacle, this tent of meeting, and what goes on in there. But let's go through just a little bit of a reminder here this morning. The tabernacle was a holy space. It's where God lived amongst his people. And the most holy place in the tabernacle was behind the curtain called the Holy of Holies. That's where Aaron's two sons were struck dead when he came into the presence of God because they were not clean of their sin. Since God is holy, set apart from sin, it is dangerous for a sinner to come into the presence of God. That wasn't allowed. But yet God provided a way. And that's what we're going to learn about here this morning. Once a year, the high priest was allowed to enter the most holy of holies, the holy place, on behalf of God's people. Notice he was to take a bath. He's to be physically clean, but also resembled the washing away of the sins maybe in his own life. He's to put on the proper clothes, which we've discussed in previous sermons as well, for this holy day. And he must sacrifice a bull for his own sin and the sin of his household or his family. The most holy place was to be filled with smoke, a smoke of holy incense, so that the high priest would not be able to see the fullness of God, because nobody can see the fullness of God and live on this side of heaven. And so God would make sure that the incense was there so Aaron would not see the fullness of God to protect him. And then Aaron would go in and he'd sprinkle blood from the bull before the throne of God to cleanse things. And with the way opened and the sins of the high priest atoned for, the high priest could then be allowed to make atonement for the people of God. Israel. But what I want to concentrate on this morning are these two goats. How many of you have ever been around a goat before? Some of you in here raised some goats. Yeah, they're a great animal, aren't they? Yeah, you got to have good fence, and they're not afraid to do anything. So the high priest takes two goats. Goat number one, to be slaughtered as a sin offering. Goat number two, the scapegoat, that was to be used, and we'll get in and explain more of that. But goat number one is slaughtered as a sin offering. People brought animals as sin offerings every day to the tabernacle. But this sin offering is going to be different. And you'll see why here in a little bit. It's an offering to atone for the sins of all people. All people. Now, how many of you do I need to, let me ask you this question here this morning. Do people need to tell you that you sin? Do you pretty much know when you sin? For the most part, we do, don't we? I don't need to tell you. Your neighbor doesn't need to tell you. Usually the Holy Spirit triggers something in us that we know that we've made some kind of a sin. We've done something against God or maybe against a neighbor or whatever it might be. And so think about this in life. They're called sins of omission. Those are sins that you and I commit that we don't even know that we commit. Wow, isn't that something? The Israelites were no different. They would commit sins that they didn't even realize that they committed. And this was God's way to clean that all up and to bring his people back into restoration with the relationship with him. And he said, I need this day because you need to be cleansed. I know you brought sin offerings and you're supposed to as the different tribes and you've done your part, but this is for all the people, the corporate body, the church. That's what was going on. And so then Aaron, he'd enter the most holy place, and he'd sprinkle the blood of that goat on the atonement cover. He would make atonement on the most holy place because of the rebellion of the Israelites, those sins that they maybe didn't commit, or maybe a sin that they would not confess. Maybe you've been there, where you've had a sin where, you know, I just don't want to confess that because if I confess it, then I need to admit to it. And they're no different than you and I. And the way that they lived their lives. And then Aaron, he would sprinkle blood on the altar where daily sacrifices were made. He'd make atonement for that. So imagine the different pieces of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. And so if you were to kind of compare that today, we have the communion table, the altar, where we gather. We have the baptismal font. And so today, if we had to sprinkle blood, we would sprinkle the blood over the altar. And we'd sprinkle the blood over the baptismal font. Back then, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had the altar where they sacrificed the animals. And so Aaron would cleanse all that. He cleansed the church, more or less. The tent of meeting. So they could continue their worship to God for the next year. Is what his requirements were. If you have your Bible open this morning, I'm going to encourage you to get that out because I'm going to refer to a few things in there that I want you to see here this morning. So turn to Leviticus chapter 16, a few verses that I want to give you here this morning. These verses I did not read, but you're going to hear them. 32 and 33 says this to us this morning. This is commanding Aaron here now, and he's talking to Moses. Make atonement for the most holy place, he says. For the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community, this is to be a lasting ordinance for you. You should do this at least once a year, is what he commands, for the sins of the Israelites. And so that's where this comes from. Now, let me ask you this question this morning. Do we have to do spring cleaning in our relationship to God? Good question to ask this morning. Now, you're thinking, where are you going with this, Rob? Because, you know, I can ask for forgiveness every day to Jesus, and I can come to church, and we do communion, and so on and so on. So, but just hold on to that thought and hear me out this morning. What is the most common way that you and I gather in corporate worship where we ask for forgiveness of sins in our lives? And it's coming up here October 6th, by the way. What do we do in our church service as the corporate body of Christ when we come to church with this sacrament? What is it? Communion. Communion. We gather corporately, usually at least four times a year. We do this probably six, I think, is the body of Christ in this church. Easter morning or maybe Monday, Thursday, Christmas Eve and then sprinkled throughout the year on other occasions as well, we come and we gather corporately and we ask God to forgive us our sins, even the sins of omission, just like the Israelites did. Now there's way deeper, something way deeper going on here this morning that I want you to be aware of. Now we know that you and I, we don't need to kill a goat anymore to sacrifice for our sins. Those days are gone. Because God fixed this problem with you and I, and he did it through whom? Jesus Christ. Very good. He was offered as the one atoning sacrifice for all of our sins for all time. Here's the catch, though. You need to be the one to be the follower of Christ and ask for that forgiveness. Because the blood's been shed. Jesus' blood has been sprinkled on the altar. It's been sprinkled on the baptismal font. It's been sprinkled over you and I's lives as forgiveness of sins. Because one day, you and I are going to stand before God and you're going to be washed as white as snow because of the blood of Christ. That's good news. Hebrews 10. Let me read just a few verses. Listen to this this morning. Notice this is New Testament I'm speaking of here now. So you got to jump with me. Now we're after the death of Christ on the cross. He says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," what's the most holy place? The presence of God who lives amongst us, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. We don't need to go into the Holy of Holies anymore because it now resides in us, in amongst us. And then it goes on to say, by this new and living way, which speaks of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. The curtain is gone. The full presence of the Lord is amongst his people through the Holy Spirit. You and I have access to come every day of the week, every hour, every minute, to pray, to ask for forgiveness, to seek God through Jesus Christ. Back then, they were given one day a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where they could seek that out in their lives. We don't need a goat to restore a broken relationship or connection to God because we have Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate. That's why we gather. Your job is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. That's what God invites you into. The rest is grace. Now, let me challenge you this morning in your faith walk. Why is it sometimes we run into issues when we ask God for forgiveness or we spring clean our lives? Let me put this in layman's terms for you. When you commit a sin, you ask for forgiveness, but why do you want to drag that sin back up in your life continually, over and over and over? When God says, when you come to me, it's as gone as far as the east is from the west. I know that you struggle with that, because I do. Sins that we commit, some of those things, they never go away. They keep rumbling around in your mind. They come back and they haunt you. And of course, Satan's that little voice saying, you're not good enough. You're never going to make it in your life. Let me tell you this. There is no problem on God's side. Here's another verse to back that up out of 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness when we ask. See, God promises to do his part, to forgive us and wash us clean. The problem is that you and I sometimes can't get past those sins. We can't shake the painful memories. We can't shake sometimes the feelings of guilt or shame that we might have. Maybe the grip of sin in our weaker moments. When you go to bed at night and you got time to think, and you might stay up at night because you're worried about something that you might have done or something that's happened in your life. Has anybody ever been there? Most definitely, we all have. You see, that's the shame and the guilt that I'm talking about of how sin comes back into our lives. We allow that to happen to you and I. Not by God's will or God's choosing. We pick that back up. Satan lays it out there for us. And we pick it back up in our lives. Our sins are forgiven when you ask. But we hold on to the thoughts and the effect of them in our lives. And so let me bring you to goat number two. Goat number one is a sacrifice for the sins of the people on the altar. Now we get to this goat called the scapegoat. Anybody heard of a scapegoat before? Right? I asked the kids the question this morning, have you ever blamed somebody else for something that you've done? Right? You call that person the scapegoat? So let's learn about this scapegoat this morning. If you have your Bible open, Leviticus 16, I'm going to read verses 20 through 22. Listen closely to what goes on here. When Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, so he's killed goat number one, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat, right? That's goat number two, the live goat. He shall lay both hands on the head of this live goat, and he's to confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins. And it was a symbolic meaning of transfer of the sins of the Israelites to this goat, that God was washing them clean. And then it goes on to say this, the goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. And if you were to read the scripture, notice it says that a man who was able for the job. How far away do you think this goat had to be? 10 foot outside the camp? No. They took that goat a long, long, long ways in the wilderness. Because what do you think they did never want to have happen? They did never want the goat to come back into camp. That would have been terrible. So let me put this challenge out to you this morning. Why do you allow the goat of sin to come back into your life when you've asked for forgiveness? That's the point that God's trying to make to you and I. When you confess your sins, he says it's gone as far as the east is from the west. And how far did I say that was to these children here this morning? It is forever gone, never to return, when you and I ask for that forgiveness. That's awesome. That's relief. And so if you're struggling with things tonight, I want you to think about that. Psalm 103, verse 12, paste it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror that you, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed your sins from you when you ask. I often wonder if the Israelites were fearful that in a couple days that that goat would creep back into camp. And the Bible says that it was a fit person that had to take that goat out as far as they could go. They never wanted that goat to come back. They want to make sure that some wild beast got it or it never could find its way back to the tent of meeting. So you and I need to do those same things in our life when we have sin. Ask for forgiveness and forget about it. Be released of it. Live in the joy of the Lord. Remember, your job is to believe that Christ died for your sins. Now let's tie this all together just a little bit here this morning. The Son of God became a man. We know that, right? He lived on this earth. He had no sin. He made atonement for our sins. He restored our relationship with God. He was the ultimate scapegoat for you and I. He took the blame. That was his final task on earth, to go to the cross, to shed the blood. And so on the day that, on the Friday that we call Good Friday, you guys are familiar with that, Jesus was led out of the holy city Now remember what they did with the goat. They led it out of the tent of meeting, out of the Holy of Holies. They led Jesus out of the city of Jerusalem to a hill not that far away, but far enough, called what? Golgotha, where he would be sacrificed. The sins of you and I left to Golgotha forever through Jesus Christ. That's the correlation we have today with the scapegoat. This is how it plays out in the New Testament. We don't need goat number one, for the blood of the one and only Son has taken care of that. We no longer need goat number two, for guilt is permanently removed, never to return through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you another question this morning. Do we still need to be cleaned up from time to time? And my answer to you is yes, that we stay close to God because sin separates us. Now, it's not a salvation issue. If you've given your life to Christ like Hadley did here this morning, God says, I'll forever be your God and salvation's yours. But when your life gets dirty from time to time, you and I need to clean it up and we ask for that forgiveness. We have communion together as the body of Christ. We pray and we ask God for forgiveness daily in our lives for things that we've done or left undone. You and I still need to do that from time to time. Let me challenge you with a few more things here this morning. If you carry a burden of sin, which all of us probably do, if you carry a burden of guilt and shame, or the burden of maybe dark memories that oppress you from time to time, maybe they drag you down, the goat is a picture of a much deeper reality for you and I that I want you to get this morning. You can lay your sin, all of it, on the spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to do something this morning. I want you to, it's kind of funny how Anita already had us extend our hands. I want you to extend your hands out in front of you this morning. I'm going to pray for you. Some of you, this will be uncomfortable for you, but I want you to get this. When the priest put his hands on that scapegoat, he prayed. Let me pray for you. Close your eyes. Keep your hands out. Lord, we lay all of our sin on Jesus Christ right now, today, at this moment. Lord, there are things in our lives that we maybe are holding on to, things that are maybe deep, they hurt. Lord, those are things that maybe have come back to haunt us. Lord, we place all of those on you, on the cross. Lord, the goat is gone. Lord, we ask that you remove those things from us today. May you make us clean. We seek your forgiveness, and we are thankful for what you did for us on the cross. All glory and honor goes to you, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen.